pesar de sueños uno no puede olvidar que hace unos años atrás en una isla tropical el sueño de los más lindos allá te empezó a gestar. Cuando escuchas una música que sale del corazón, le corta como la llave, salta solo a abajo. Una gente que con pura pasión te da la cuenta de que compa y te niña mucha razón. Cuando todo lo que te rodea es la buena vibración. Cuando sube, sube y sube como si fuera un avión. Cuando los americanos se den cuenta de su error, todos los celebraremos con un traguito de ron.
Sueños y se consiguen, Cuba libre, que nunca se nos olvide, Cuba libre, los sueños y se consiguen. Ahora tenemos a latinos a cubrir desde México, Argentina, desde Cuba, Trinidad. Todos nos levantaremos para pedir igualdad. Recuperaremos lo que nos han robado. Traemos al espíritu de nuestros antepasados. Revolución pacífica y una canción. Esto es lo que necesita la nueva generación. Una juventud cansada, aburrido de mentiras que no nos llevan a nada. Su tierra y latinoamericano, sabor para el mundo. Hermanos, todos unidos, cuide Cuba. Revolución, revolución. Cuba libre, que nunca se nos olvide. Cuba libre, los sueños sí se consiguen. Cuba libre, que nunca se nos olvide. Cuba libre, los sueños sí se consiguen.
When you're speaking about dreams, when you're dreaming about dance, when you're dancing the music, it's no matter what you are. Cuban music means freedom going into your ears. No matter how you feel, it's gonna take away your fears. Happiness become a lifestyle, and the only thing to do, I enjoy and dance. When the music flows like a supernatural power all around the world, making dance in all the flowers.
Respect, respect,
respect, respect,
the Cuban revolution.
Respect, respect,
respect,
respect,
respect, respect,
respect, respect,
respect, respect,
respect, respect,
respect, respect,
respect, respect,
respect, respect, respect, respect, respect, respect,
respect, respect, respect,
respect, respect.
Respect to everyone who's out at King's North. Fuck.
Woo!
Okay, cool. Just want to give a shout out to everyone who's out there now, shutting down that piece of crap. Deserves to be shut down. Those who are on the water, those who are on land, even those in the sky.
Yeah, and in case you haven't guessed, it is August the 9th, and we are broadcasting in the afternoon live from Climate Camp.
Day of action.
88.3 FM. Yes, it is the big day.
So, yeah, we had to get up really early this morning to put a decent show together, unlike other days, perhaps. And what we've got is we've got loads of information about what's been happening, and we've got a bit of a timeline piece which I think we're going to start off with, which is just covering how people have been on the camp this morning, people leaving.
We want to give you the feeling that you're actually here with us right now, hearing all the updates that are coming in.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, terribly.
All right, cool. So just want to give a bit of a word, big word up to the London Bicycle Block. And go Seb. So what we're going to do is we're going to blast into a little sort of medley thing we got from a few piece
montage.
Yeah. Montage.
Montage is film. Medley is for music and audio, no? Anyway, so let's take that away.
Yeah. Okay, it's 10:30, and as of this morning, at 0800 hours, the Grua safety boat was confiscated by the cops. At 0845, rafts were launched near King's North, on the way near Hoo. At 0900 hours, the raft Pretty Polly was on the water. Also at 0900 hours, the Shiver Me Timbers was launched but detained at Gillingham. At 0910, the Orange Block assembled at the front gate. At 0915, the good ship Barbarossa was underway from Upmore Cattle. At 0915 also, four people arrived back on site who got within half a field of King's North but were then stopped by two vanloads of cops with dogs. At 0935, 200 Green Block broke out of the back field and had minor scuffles with cops, and there were some injuries, but the rest got away. At 0947, reports of a cyclist block having a picnic by the fence. At 0955, UK Indymedia went down and Bristol came in to, as a backup. At 1000 hours, Bicycology arrived at the front gate, surrounded by Essex cops, but the atmosphere is pretty good. There's a Section 14 being put in place, meaning that anyone there not between 12 and 1pm would be arrestable. At 10:06, UK Indymedia came back up. And also at 10:06, alas, the good ship Barbarossa was captured, and she sailed for well over half a mile, and all pirates are fine. At 10:24, 50 greens have just reached the fence. And as of 10:30, 8 kayaks have left Rochester on the water and are on their way on him.
Oh, hi, this is the Bristol Fashion crew. Sadly, we have had our boat seized just as we were about to go on the water. But yeah, we very kindly asked to offer to deflate it for the officers, and that took really quite a long time. And we're sitting on the beach having a picnic, and we still have our life jacket.
What time is it? Okay, it's now about 11:30, and since 10:30 we've had a bunch of the rafters have gone out to Darnett Fort, which is in the middle of the estuary, and they've hung a banner that says CO2 coal, start a gun for climate chaos. And then another separate report, three group hanging off a ledge which is right by the jetty on King's North, and police are struggling to reach them. But the big news is that green groups have now converged on the corner of King's North, and we've got reports that they've started scaling the fences. They've got past the first fence and the electric fence, and they're using some of King's North's old fence as a ladder to get over, apparently. So they're pretty much almost in, and there's hundreds of them there.
Hi, we're just coming up to the power plant now. We've just been walking underneath all the pylons that are really close by. It's really great march. It's probably about 1,000 of us. Everybody's got banners. They're dressed in really lovely colours. Lots of little kids, lots of babies. Fantastic samba band, which you can probably hear right now. I'll hand you over to my lovely assistant to complete this report. But yeah, it's going really well. We're nearly there. So there's lots of noise, lots of colours. Beautiful, or should I say, ugly view of the big coal plant, but we have positive reports and the crowd is very, very optimistic about what's going to happen today.
Okay, so it's now 12:30, and since the last report, when 19 people had breached the first fence, the electric fence has apparently now been turned off. And a load of people have been storming that, and they've been using King's North's old fence as a ladder to get over the fence. So they've been searching for a point where there's less riot cops to try and get over. So far, we've had people inside, people have got in. At least four people now have been arrested for aggravated trespass for getting in, and there still is a whole load of the green groups are at the fence trying to get in. Five canoes were seen at 11:29. Five canoes were seen passing lower Upnor. And then at 11:42, the orange group got to a gate, possibly the main gate, and there's approximately 1,000 of them. At 11:56, three kayaks were passing the last bend in the water by Kingsnorth, still heading that way. At 11:58, some pirates landed by the west fence, got land and are now joining the rest of the green group. At 12, we've got another reports of people breaching the main fence and getting in. And then recently from legal, we've heard that seven of the canoeists have now been detained. One is still running around in the mud flats evading the cops. So yeah, we've had four people inside, and the three people that were kind of hanging on a ledge on the jetty on the other side of Kings North have now been arrested as well. But we've still got people now surrounding the entire of Kings North. There's reports of groups all over the perimeter fence. People are getting in, people have been getting in by water, and the Darnet Nest? Basically, there's a big sea fort in the middle of the estuary, and that is being occupied, and they've got a banner that says, coal, start a gun for climate chaos.
Cool. All right, that's absolutely wicked stuff. So, let's be honest, we're getting in there.
Mm-hmm.
Kick ass. All right, that's been our sort of media coverage of what's been going on today, and we've been getting that from Dispatch, the main media tent, so thanks to them guys in there. And we're actually going to have an update again before the end of the show, which will be up to the minute, so we'll be able to give you more info as it comes out. Now, the next piece is one to make you smile. However, we've got to give you a bit of a warning. The piece is actually what we'd like to call...
Yeah, we basically went around and like checked out all the various gates around the camp, and it was just a beautiful morning, wasn't it? And the sun was out, and everybody was in a good mood, and so we just have a little bit from that. But afterwards, yeah, we do have a piece to make you laugh. But if you've got people in the room that don't really enjoy swearing and cuss words, you might want to have them leave or turn off, because it's not very...
It's not very clean, but this is Mick Fuzz. It'll be Mick Fuzz giving us his morning wake-up swear, and giving the campers a bit of life.
After the gates.
So I'm here at K1. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hey.
So you guys like had the little sort of track here. You got yourself a little hole up here. How's it been going this morning?
The cold. Not much.
Not much going on. Anything going on in the fields around you?
Loads of sheep came over and said morning. That's about it.
Sweet, but at least the animals are on our side. Alright, cool stuff. Well, be cool and we'll catch you later.
Take care, see you later.
Alright, the sun's up and we're here up at K2. What's been going on here so far?
We've had a few, it's all going on now. We've had a few people head out over the gate and over the fence, and they were searched, but they weren't arrested. So they're on their way off to Kings North, hopefully. Apart from that, it's been pretty quiet.
Cool. Alright, well, I'm sure we'll be back during the day. Check it out.
Alright.
Cheers.
And we are here at K3, and it's still a beautiful morning, very quiet. What's been going on?
Exactly that. It's been very, very, very quiet. Nothing has been going on. Actually, I've just been a legal observer on the gate as well, and the police, I want to say something positive about the police, they've been brilliant. These particular police force on K3 have been really good, although there is a shift change coming up. A few people gone in and out, that's it. Yeah. Have not been hindered, but they have been searched.
Yes, of course, looks like that's happened everywhere. Thank you.
Alright, here at K4. It's early. What's going on?
Good morning. Well, we've had a relatively quiet morning. During the night, there were two local kids, got quite drunk, tried to come on site, ended up here inside the post. We're containing them here, they're making a little noise, but not much more than that, and police were chatting with them, and the guards. After that, yeah, shift change, go and go, guards moved back towards police moved back towards their projector, and Yeah, after daylight we got them to turn off the projector. It's been quite quiet.
Now we're at K5, and standing here at the Legal Observer, and we're all having a laugh because there was just a funny announcement over the police intercom system.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can repeat it on the radio, to be fair, but that's about the most entertaining thing. Well, if anyone finds it interesting, they've just announced on their speaker, can the man with the 10-inch penis please come to the phone?
The man with the 10-inch penis, please come to the phone.
I'm very sorry, I'm quite giggly. They've been very stony-faced with us for the past couple of hours, and that's the funniest thing they've done since they've been here, yeah. That made them laugh. We couldn't make them laugh, but they did. They've not been doing a lot else. The sheep have been quite noisy, but they don't seem to like us this time round. They've not really done a lot, apart from swap over an awful lot, so...
So basically it's pretty calm and settled
here. Yeah,
it's
pretty calm, yeah. Not a lot's going on, really. Nothing to really report that's exciting, apart from they keep changing over. That's about it, and they keep putting things on the speaker that are quite entertaining.
Okay, we'll come back for an update later.
Okay, thank you.
Right, okay, it's early morning. What time is it now?
7:10.
7:10, right, so I'm going to get myself awake by having a good swear. I like to swear myself awake. So I'm going to go around and see if I can get other people to swear. Fucking selves awake. Fucking cunts. Fucking shitheads. Fucking what a bunch of cunts. Jesus Christ, what a bunch of wankers. Oh, fucking hell. Oh, no, they're not awake. They're all fucking twats. Jesus, shitbag on a stick for fucking hippies. Shitheads. Wankers, fucking guy ropes being right. Cunts. Fucking need a cup of coffee before my fucking head falls off like a twat. Look at these people around here, they've got no fucking idea what the fuck's going on. It's like a shit fucking festival. It's like a convention of knobheads. It's like a dick on a fucking road round trip. Do you want a quick swear in the morning to wake you up? Have a quick swear. Fucking liberals! Fucking hell! Fucking liberals, people are getting here. Swear yourself awake, that's a new way forward. I'm telling you now, fucking people walking on. Honestly, some people look like they've walked through fucking Oxfam, covered in fucking glue. What a bunch of cunts. I'll tell you now, here's some people who know what's going on. I'm having a quick swear. Do you find swearing helps you wake up?
Fuck off.
Go on. Have a quick swear.
Fuck off.
Oh, you can do better than that. Go on.
Buggeration.
Do you want a quick swear in the morning? It really helps. A really vehement swear helps you wake yourself up.
Yeah, fucking bollocks.
Oh, that was a good one. All right, we've got more swearers on site here. What a bunch of fucking anarchists. They look at them all dressed in black. Do you find swearing in the morning helps you wake up? I do. I'm just going around for a quick swear.
Not as much as a speedball and a handjob.
Yeah, I don't swear.
That's quite a good swear word. Ah, fucking speedball and handjob. Fucking hell.
There you go.
There you go. Another swear word. All right, I've got more swearers over here. All right, I'll tell you what. Sorry to interrupt you, just people need to swear themselves awake to find a good fucking cunting swear in a shitbag, piss fat arsehole. Right, go on, have a good swear. Swear, go on.
Bugger.
Bit of infantile swearing going on side to side. Fucking, alright. I've had more fucking tents up my arse this weekend than I've had fucking shit brains flying through the turd infested sky, mung bean, fucking tree hugging, mother loving, uncle fucking, dip swilling, shit bag holding, tent pole climbing, wanking fuck chick bags, Jesus fuck, on a toss bag. Oh, I'll be swearing more later. Jesus, look at the state of this. We've got people calling themselves anarchistic environmental hippies. Just looking around sight, it's a terrible thing to see. It's like all your dreams unfolding into one big, hairy nightmare. This is Mick Foss swearing on the day of action.
Alright, big word up to Mick, and if he's up for it, we'll have him in later. There's nothing like a swear before dinner.
And for all of you out there listening and who can't make it to King's North, definitely go to indiemedia.org.uk for lots of coverage and other information as well. It's a wonderful resource.
All right, you can check on, there's a live ticker going on, which will have a lot of the information as it comes in, as confirmed from here. So it's a good, reliable source. So next up, going back to our bit of coverage this morning, we were going around the camp, a lot of interesting stuff going on, and we're going to have a chat with someone from the Orange Block.
And just lots and lots of people that were getting ready to leave basically this morning.
All right, cool.
What's this contraption that you've got here? Do you want to describe it for the listeners?
Hi, this is the Climate Dragon, as part of the Orange March, the Kids March, really. I'm just getting covered in streamers here as we're taking the dragon to the entrance. so we're just taking the dragon to the entrance, and we're going to be setting off to the power station at about 9.
Okay, and what's the dragon going to do?
The dragon, I hope, is it's going to provide a bit of colour and excitement for the march.
Here, Peter Pan here, going out in the Orange Block.
Oh, I am indeed. Well, we're not going to stick around with the Orange Block. We're going to have some bicycle fun.
Bicycle fun. Do you see you're not going to be doing any food criticising for us?
I'm going to be doing some food appreciation later on, I think, because we're taking some cake with us for the hungry King's North shutdown crew.
Maybe you could come back and review some of the local chips or something like that.
Yeah, local chips, yeah. They better be good, though.
All right, well, have a good time anyway.
Cheers.
You too. Are they quite expensive?
How are you?
Hi, I'm good. You guys are heading out on a march, I see.
Well, we're just about to, group together here from Orange March and then move out, I think.
Yeah. What does your sign say there?
It says, burning our future, no new coal.
Do you have an itinerary and where you're going to...
Well,
today.
The police, unfortunately, have just told us that we have to have one lane of the dual carriageway.
Okay.
So we're just going to keep it safe for the kids, you know. And, we're going to go down the dual carriageway and head towards King's North.
Good.
Keep it quite light and fun and musical, and then, have a party at the gate when we get there.
Right, you're walking towards the gate in a giant polar bear.
We're with a polar bear.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, what's his name?
Larry, probably.
Larry.
So what are you going to do today?
Well, we're just going to go and represent the polar bears, who can't be here in person, to King's North and see what they say about that.
Okay, well, best of luck with it.
Thank you very much.
We're standing by the London Tent with two people who are going on an action today. How are you guys feeling?
Excited?
Yeah, very much so. And still kind of all our stuff to get together. Still not having all our sandwiches made and stuff, so that we won't start on our way.
Oh, you look like you have some really nice looking bonbons you're taking with you too. What are those things?
They're homemade chocolates. Vegan, we're hoping. I'm a friend of ours.
That is just too good to be true.
I'm standing with two people who are equipped with bikes. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you're planning on doing today?
Just going for a ride.
Just going to go for a casual ride through the countryside.
There's some sort of protest going on, so we might go and see it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're hoping perhaps to ferry some supplies back and forth to the procession. I'm sure we'll want some sandwiches and some drinks later, so hopefully we'll do a bit of that. There's a rumour that there might be some fun in the river, so if we can go and see some fun in the river. I think some people get a bit muddy, then that would be nice too. But yeah, ferrying supplies. Very well, sounds very intriguing. Well, I wish you both luck.
Come and join the march.
When you're going
these numbers down, please.
Are you all right, man? You excited? It's lovely, beautiful. We're building paradise here now, and the coal's going to just melt into the sky. All right, well, best of luck. Thank you, thank you. Climate Camp Radio, what system craftsman you've got here?
It's called the Brox. It's a four-wheeled bicycle with a flatbed. You can carry lots of cake on it.
So you're bringing cake for the march?
Yeah, but keep it secret because it'll be gone by the middle of the day if I...
Well, we won't be broadcast until one, so it'll all be gone by then. All right, have a good time.
Thank you.
All right, Climate Camp Radio.
Hello. Say hello.
Hello. Hello.
You looking forward to the march?
Aww. You're a bit shy.
Bit shy. All right, have a good time.
Hey, are you guys going on the march today?
Yeah.
And what do you plan on doing?
I don't know.
So we're gonna find no new car.
We're gonna tell them no new car.
Okay, I like your face paint. Did you do it yourself?
No.
Oh, who did it for you?
The face paint lady.
Oh, well, you all look very nice, and have fun today. We've got the Climate Camp Penguin on site. How are you doing?
There are loads more back there. I'm just one of them.
Oh, really? How many are you?
I have no idea. I just kind of turned up at a tent and got landed with this costume. Oh. Maybe like a dozen.
Oh, yeah. Fun. Have fun.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Bit of disco action going on?
Yeah, we're dancing against coal. Yeah.
Hey, have you got your practice, your moves? You all ready to go?
We got all the right moves, yeah.
Fantastic hairdo to boot.
It's anti-coal hair.
But it looks like it's going to work, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it's going to be a good day. Yeah, definitely. Down with coal.
Have fun.
Yeah, cheers.
What are these contraptions you've got strapped all over your body?
These are used police gloves that we've decided to recycle by inflating and making into an outfit.
Okay, well, it's quite fetching.
Thank you. Well, we're not afraid to get our hands dirty, unlike the police, so we're willing to put the work in to make a real difference and to really try and protect this planet, protect it for our children and their children.
All right, well, best of luck. Have fun.
Thank you.
You're the Hat Brigade.
Ding ding ring ding 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 ding.
I couldn't say it better myself, you know that. Do you have any words for us?
No.
Said, do you like to move and dance and sing? Are you in the mood to shake that thing? Do you like to move and dance and sing? Are you in the mood to shake that thing? Well, I looked left and right and I looked straight up. I heard a rhythm coming and I thought, man, shut up. But it was moving, it was moving, it was bouncy, hot and sweet. And I started to feel a tingle in somewhere in my feet. So I sat me down on the ground and tried to get my mom. And soon they were on top of me and I felt like a fool.
notice forces of the cheeky grin. His knees were wobbling at a rate I looked at had too long. I felt like I was floating out like I was on a raft. But three of them propelled me up and set me on my pins. I felt like I had lost control of my duty shit. One more time they asked me, now this time I could deny. If I stayed still any longer, I believe that I would
Dragon, you're listening to Climate Climb Radio.
Alright, cool. So, we heard a bit about what was going on around the camp and what's going on around Kingsnorth, and people have been reporting their own actions and stories by phoning 01634 210111. So, and if you have a phone with interweb capabilities and stuff, you can send your photos and stuff to phone.uploads@gmail.com. Alright, cool.
And this radio program is brought to you by many people who have come together for this project, and those include Dissident Island, Rise Up Radio, Flash Radio, PlentyFact.net, Bristol Wireless, and Indie Media UK. And now we're going to go into a piece that was done by our friends at Rise Up. It's a report from the blockade of the Eon offices in Nottingham on Fossil Fools Day.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
You're like attached to a door.
I am. It's reasonably comfortable, actually. I'm quite calm.
What, can you just tell me what just happened here, just as you got here?
Well, I couldn't see behind me. I can actually see, but someone was trying to push the door open as we were being de-locked on, and as we were trying to lock the door with the chain, and we just had to say, look, there's people that they can't move, basically, but he didn't seem to care, but he went away eventually, so...
Yeah, looking a bit frustrated, eh?
I wish I could see, but I can't, so...
I don't think you're too happy. You're alright as well. De-locked, eh?
Hey, up.
Are you comfortable?
Yes, I am. Yeah. It's only been 5 minutes, though, so... See what happens.
Could you tell me what's just happening in front of us?
Well, there are two people. They're in white suits, and they seem to be daubing themselves with rather neon-coloured green paint.
It's a greenwash.
Ah.
I'm covered in green for greenwash, because Eon are the biggest climate criminals in the area, and they're full of greenwash.
Tell me what Eon are up to.
Eon own our local coal-fired power station, which emits the second largest CO2 emissions in the UK, in England rather, and they are also wanting to build a new coal-fired power station at Kingsnorth in Kent, using some new technology which is unproven, unreliable, and uses 40% more energy than the usual technology.
That sounds bad.
Well, it is, and they've got to stop.
And today's a day of action around the country.
It's Fossil Fuels Day. It's an international day of action called by Rising Tide. And there's stuff happening all over the world about fossil fuel industry. And now we have to keep fossil fuels in the ground if we want to stop climate change.
How long are you planning on staying here today?
As long as possible.
Right, so you work at E.ON, you can't get in today.
That's true, we can't.
How do you feel about that?
Well, it's a day off work, essentially.
Got it.
That's always good enough. What are you guys doing there?
Credit control for business.
Collect money off businesses, ring businesses up, go, why haven't you paid your electricity bill? You've only spent £13,000 this month on gas and electricity.
Yes, some of them do, man. IBM, I was phoning up IBM the other day, they were messing about. But that's the job, essentially, and drinking quite a lot of tea.
That's always good.
That's the main part of the job, really.
There's a lot of people working.
Yes, quite a lot.
Yeah, there's hundreds.
Hundreds.
Do you understand why these people are blockading today?
Yes, I can understand that. It's obviously to do with the energy efficiency thing and the fact that E.ON are still one of the largest polluters, despite attempted charitable movements.
So you see it as that charitable movement?
Attempted charitable movements, yeah. I mean, it's not actually going to make up for the damage that's being done at the moment. Essentially, the fact is, yeah, they are one of the worst, along with, British Gas, Empower, it's all the same fucking deal. They all need to change their attitude. And simply giving money to good charitable causes isn't actually changing your attitude, is it, really?
Because there was just a guy here who works inside who was really passionate about, E.ON being all... investing in renewables and all that.
Well, there is an attempt to do that, but unfortunately, any company this size can't actually do that without committing a huge amount to it. And if they do it on a level that's actually going to make a difference, they risk losing out to the other companies. So unless they all actually start taking a more mature attitude, it's going to continue being this tiny little bit of 5% and 10%. I mean, at the moment, I think it's 10% towards trying to sort out the mesh.
Safe and lawful protest. Okay, so if you'd like to sort of give us your intentions and what it is you'd like to get out to your protest today.
Okay, well, like you said, it's a peaceful protest.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no violence here whatsoever.
Okay.
We intend to stay here for as long as we can.
Yeah.
All right. Publicity stunt.
Yeah.
To raise awareness about CO2 emissions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
The company is E.ON. They're based in here.
Yeah.
That's literally what's happening at the moment.
Okay. Right. You've got two people locked onto the doors.
Yep.
Are you prepared to negotiate an area to protest from without interfering with business office building?
I'll have to go and talk to all the people locked on, because I'm just speaking for them. I'm just communicating. I can't make a decision for them, so I'll have to go and speak to people like that and then come back to
okay.
them.
Okay. From my point, I would say like a lawful and safe protest, obviously locking onto the doors is going to interfere with the business of that office building.
I understand that.
Okay, so I would like to negotiate with you initially, people willingly unlocking, continue your protests, but from a agreed area where you get your publicity and get your point across, but we can allow people to carry out their lawful business as well.
So can I just clarify that? You want people to unlock themselves?
Please.
Right now?
Yes.
That's your request?
That's my request at the moment.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, I will go and speak to people and come back to you.
Okay.
Again,
right? Thank you very much.
Right. Hi. Good morning.
Hi. Morning.
Lovely day today.
Yeah, well, it's mixed weather as normal these days, sunny and rainy.
Sunny and rainy. Yeah. Can you tell me where we are and what's going on?
Okay, we're outside E.ON's offices on Mount Street, Nottingham City Centre. What's going on is a group of about 30 people have blockaded the building. They've locked onto the main entrance, and they've covered themselves in green paint and stopped all the side entrances, so none of the workers can get in and out this morning.
Why?
Okay, E.ON are the largest energy provider in the UK. Today is International Fossil Fuels Day. People are taking action all around the world on targets related to fossil fuels. E.ON are currently in the process of building a new generation, or applying to build a new generation of coal-fired power stations. Specifically, they're building the first one in the UK for 50 years at King's North in Kent, which is the target of the World Development Movement campaign, Greenpeace, and also where the climate camp is going to be this year. They've also got plans to build a new coal-fired power station at High Marnham in Nottinghamshire, near Retford. And so we're here today to say that this isn't going to happen. Burning fossil fuels in the 20th century is a ridiculous concept, and the only way to stop runaway climate change is to keep fossil fuels in the ground.
Can you just tell me what's going on right now and sort of what you predict to happen in the sort of next few hours?
Okay, what's going on right now is that the police are not letting us back in to go join the demo, come out to talk to the press. Police are not letting us back in to join the demo at the moment. There's quite a lot of police around that have kind of sealed off the area. The workers have all been sent away somewhere nice to go and get coffee, I think. The people who are blockading have made a negotiation with the police that they're allowed to stay till 10. And if they leave by 10 of their own accord, they will not be arrested. If they leave after 10, then they will be arrested for aggravated trespass.
So I guess if people are sort of making up their minds now on what they're going to do.
I think we've pretty much agreed that they're going to leave at 10.
Hiya. Looking very smart today.
Thank you very much. I dressed for the occasion.
Special occasion?
Not really. It's pretty rubbish, to be honest.
Tell me about the occasion.
Well, I've come down here as a loyal representative of anti-climate chaos. I mean, so I don't really know. I'm not the brains. I've just come down as the brawn today.
But you care about climate change?
Indeed.
You think something needs doing?
Yeah, everyone's got to make their bit, and if you're not working, if you're not doing anything, you've got to make the effort, because otherwise that's just lazy.
This office is owned by E.ON. Do you know anything about them?
Not really. Apart from their big corporate scumbag.
Reason enough to pay him a visit.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really frustrating that we can't go up there.
Can you tell me what you can sort of see, what's happening here?
A lot of policemen and a lot of workers who haven't been able to get into work. But it's really frustrating that we can't get up there.
They're not letting us through.
Pardon?
They're not letting us through.
They're not letting us through, no. It's bloody annoying.
Hello.
How do you feel?
I feel really good. It would have been nicer if we could have continued for longer, but we were sort of pressured to move.
You're pretty painted up.
Yeah, really painted up. We laid it on thick, partly as a barrier to try and stop people wanting to get past us. But it seems to have worked. You know, most of the police didn't want to get paint on them, which was good. And, you know, now we're just coming up to 10 o'clock and we thought we'd better get off the site whilst the going was still good, because they wanted to do us for aggravated trespass. So now we're on the other side of the line and... Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm looking at my watch now, blockaded for 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours, yeah. Yeah, basically from about 7.30 this morning we moved into place. We got assaulted by some security guards coming out the back door, which we've got witnesses for.
What do you mean by assaulted?
First of all, pushed and a door shoved into us, and also one threatening to put... one of the members at the back door in hospital.
It's the caution, original caution. The original caution said that you are being cautioned now to leave land if you're not leaving immediately by 10 o'clock.
Yeah. It's 1 minute past 10 and they were arrested how long ago?
About
5 minutes ago. There were some people who were locked on at the door?
Yeah, there were some people locked on at the front gate. We had an agreement with the officer in charge on the day that said we all had to leave by 10 o'clock, otherwise people would be arrested. Everyone did leave by 10 o'clock and seems to have arrested the people who were locked onto the main door.
A bit petty.
Yeah, I think so. I think we should find out where they've taken them and try and get some support sorted.
So you would say it was a success today?
I think it was a good thing to do. It made sure that everyone who works in that building understood some of the facts about coal and the new power station that E.ON are behind, when they might not have been aware of that, and the issues to do with climate change. And it obviously caused quite a lot of disruption to that particular office, and you know, will have cost them working hours and money as well. And it does mean that they can't, you know, sort of hide from the high profile of the climate issues that E.ON are involved with. So yeah, it was a success. It got lots of people involved as well who maybe haven't been doing stuff on this issue before, and it was quite a sort of friendly and fun thing to do as well as being about a serious issue. At the moment, there's a really big movement growing in the UK about climate change, and a lot of other countries around the world are sort of watching what's happening in the UK and are quite excited by the amount of activism that's going on here about it. The more people that get involved, the more empowering that is for everyone.
Oh, hello, this is Alan from Climate Camp Radio, and we're just going to slot in an interview that I did with Aman Kai from the Bolivia Solidarity Campaign the morning after a long day and night of Latin American events at the Climate Camp on Wednesday. And she was quite meditative about the Climate Camp activists and the attitude, and how she sort of drew parallels with that in the grassroots movements in Latin America. So on with the interview. I'm sitting with Aman Kai from Bolivia Solidarity Campaign in the UK, and I'm just going to let her talk about issues in Bolivia, and I'm asking her, why is she here, particularly at the climate camp?
Okay. I'm here, I think, because I want to see what you're doing, and it's interesting that you have to set up a camp to get your voice heard, or you're demanding something, or you're taking direct action on an issue that interests you. And I suppose that's very clearly the lack of democracy. And I suppose that's what mobilized people in my own country. We were forced to do things, to take things into our own hands, because our voice was not heard. We can say maybe there are different issues, because in Bolivia we are fighting to gain control of our natural resources, to gain control of our life, basically to have dignity, you know, because we were brought to our knees. The minimum wage is so low that we cannot survive with that. Many people were forced to leave the country. There's 1 million Bolivian people living in Buenos Aires, and they calculate that there are 300,000 living in Spain, and there are 25,000 living here in Britain. And many of the people who left were graduated, some had degrees, and they're here cleaning. And they are earning the lowest, even below the minimum wage, and very often they don't get paid for what they earn. So I don't see that disconnected from what you're doing here. I see it connected, because I can see that the way the world is being run is with almost chaotically. It's like some people have the power to decide for us, for few, and the majority, all we have to do is obey or follow what those decide. And that is causing destruction, not just destruction of nature, which will have terrible consequences for everybody else, but also destruction of our own lives, you know, families. In Bolivia, for instance, we see the rise of child abuse, because children are being brought up now by grandparents, and many grandparents try to, you know, it's not a generation to bring up grandchildren, and there's a clash there. Many children end up running away from home, and that's in the rise. It has a great increase where the parents are now. Those parents, instead of bringing up the children back home, they are bringing up children here in Europe. And at the same time, those European parents are forced to leave their children in care, because they are forced to go out to work. And some have to take two jobs to have a normal life. And this society going towards, accumulation and accumulation, is just going nowhere, because we can see that all the natural resources that capitalism had used to develop is running out. So what are we going to do? Maybe we need to sit down and talk about it. And in Bolivia, in South America, I suppose we have something that people used to say, we are very rich in natural resources. We have gold and silver and so on. But somebody else said, no, you actually are very rich because you have the indigenous people there. You have the indigenous culture there, still alive. The Spanish didn't kill it because they couldn't. They needed us to work for them, to exploit, to get the silver out of the mountains because they couldn't do it with the slaves. So we managed to survive through hard work, hardship, and just keeping our heads down and keeping our dance, music, and traditions alive. But at the same time, we have kept our way of life. And in our way of life, we don't just believe that human beings and animals and are alive, but we believe that nature, you know, mountains, rivers, and stones, everything we consider alive, and we look after it. When in the uprising in Bolivia, during the gas war, in the indigenous communities, when the army went and shot bullets, when we went to talk to them, we were talking about the dead people because there were children that were killed by the army. But when we were talking to them, people were not just talking about the children, they wanted to talk about the damage done to nature as well, to the trees and to the animals. And it was interesting because they were as sad as, you know, for these other parts of nature as if they were the family. And I think that's very telling. The other thing is that in Bolivia, no matter how bad something is, you don't throw food. That's something that we don't do. And we don't throw food because it's hard to get it. And it's also, we have this connection with earth still. And here in Europe, here in Britain, I see people easily throwing food away. That's really hard to understand. And it's also hard to understand when you see the bins full of stuff that is unwanted and the shops full of goods trying to sell. And everybody trying to buy something new. There isn't any, there's no consideration, there's no understanding that that cannot go on, and that behavior has to change. Now we have a new president who is indigenous, and the slogan of the government is to live well, not to live better, but to live well, to live properly. Not better than other people. We just want to have a normal life. We just want to have enough to eat. And I think that's what we need to achieve. We need to achieve a balance in which we have food to eat and not to throw or to kill us. Because I can see there's people who are eating food not to feed their bodies but to kill them. And, you know, while in the third world you have people who don't have enough food to eat, here we have the opposite, people who are dying because they are eating too much. And I think the two have to end, and we have to end it. And I think this camp, I think, is the beginning.
All right, this is Heavy D from Climate Camp Radio. I'm here with Guy to talk about China and coal. So Guy, what do you reckon the main challenges are that the Chinese economic development pose for climate change?
Well, the thing that we really always hear in the UK and in the West about China is that China's building two power plants a week, two coal power stations every week. And, you know, this is perfectly true. They are certainly building at an enormous rate. A recent study showed that between 2004 and 2012, China's going to be building 500 new coal power plants, which will undoubtedly cancel out all the savings that currently the industrialized nations of the West have made in their Kyoto commitments, and then some. So this is obviously posing a huge challenge, but at the same time, a lot of people don't, what people don't hear about over here is some of the good things that China are doing in terms of its environmental record and its attempts to actually improve its own environmental performance.
Do you see the case of China building all these coal-fired power stations as more of an excuse for a lack of action in the West and industrialised nations?
Yeah, I think it's presented a lot like that. It's often, you know, government ministers will come out saying, well, there's no point in us really decarbonising because anything that we do will soon be wiped out in less than 2 years by China's rapid growth. I mean, I think that's utterly the wrong way of looking at it, and actually what we should be asking is, well, considering our historic emissions and considering that China's own current emissions, a quarter of which are going to exports to the West in the manufacture of products, you know, what are our own responsibilities to China in terms of helping and assisting in future their development to become greener? And, you know, should we not be being actually a lot more humble about our own role in having kick-started the Industrial Revolution to start off with, and China's only now getting a look in at the very, what seems to be the closing days of the fossil fuel era?
So do you see, it sounds a little bit hypocritical of us to be going and telling people not to be developing in a certain way, but, you know, what is the movement within China itself towards a sort of greener energy future? Is there much of a movement there?
Yeah, there is. I mean, just to sort of come back to this point of hypocrisy, I mean, yeah, I don't think we should be, you know, going over there like sort of, you know, the new green colonialists and saying what they should be doing. But I do think that on the other hand, that it is beneficial to criticise the Chinese government in what it does at times. It's obviously not a government that is hugely responsive to the demands of its own peoples, and responsive to the demands of you know, people's health and people's well-being within the environment. But actually what is happening in China recently is that China's civil society is growing, it's developing. In the last 10 years, China's seen the appearance of over 2,000 green NGOs, almost none of which are heard about or talked about in the West. In 1995, China's first real green NGO, Friends of Nature, was founded. At the time, on more of a sort of a old-fashioned, traditional conservationist, wildlife appreciation sort of remit. But since then, many NGOs have developed which not only look at conservation issues, but also looking at environmental education of the public, and also are starting to lobby government quite heavily to actually clean up on their act, to make environmental information more readily available in society, and to actually meet the targets that they've set themselves. So I think this is a really good sign of green civil society developing in China, and one that really we should in the West be really engaging with. And actually it would be fantastic to see people who've been involved in climate camp reaching out to members of Chinese green NGOs, perhaps through such initiatives as ChinaDialogue.net, which is an excellent website set up by the BBC journalist Isabel Hilton a number of years ago to facilitate this dialogue on the environment between China and the UK and the US. That's one avenue. Another avenue would be to really approach our own NGOs who have offices in China, such as Friends of the Earth, WWF and Greenpeace, and talk to them about what work is being done there. Is there opportunities for interested activists in the UK to be involved in that, or perhaps just to have a meaningful conversation with members of the Chinese public about how they're feeling, how they feel about environmental issues? Because it would contribute to a much greater understanding between two cultures if we were to actually discuss the real issues, rather than simply rely on sort of politicians telling us that we can't do really anything about it, because all that we do is going to be wiped out by China building two power stations a week. It's really a new version of a sort of a yellow peril type sort of fear mongering, really. I think
in a situation of like quite repressive government, do you see much scope for a sort of autonomous sort of anti-authoritarian groups getting their feet down and trying to produce some energy for themselves? Do you think there's any chance of that?
Well, it's interesting because in the dying days of the Soviet Union, in the late 1980s, you saw a lot of synergy between civil rights groups and democracy groups and environmental groups. And although China's a very different country to the former USSR, and it's obviously opened up its economy and liberalised its markets in a way that the Soviet Union was not able to do under Gorbachev, there are signs that its green civil society and wider civil society are starting to sort of make similar demands for greater public participation. I wouldn't say democracy. I wouldn't say we're going so far as that in terms of a sort of a right for a vote for every man, woman, and child. But it's to give you an example of one way in which environmental activism is helping to build greater capacity for public participation in China. In recent years, the government has passed a new law mandating all companies to carry out environmental impact assessments on any new buildings they do. This includes power plants. It can be for anything from a factory to a normal dwelling, and it's for companies and for public buildings. And this basically is a good step forward in terms of getting environmental information out there in the public domain and allowing and enforcing the contractors to actually consult with the general public in the vicinity. And there are, I believe, certain powers within this law that allow the general public to call for public hearings if they're not being offered. So one instance in which environmental activism in China has really got its act together in recent years was in a dam which was being proposed in 2004. In a very beautiful part of Yunnan province in the south of China on the River Niu, which was vehemently opposed by a lot of green NGOs who called together and forced public hearings with this new environmental impact assessment law, and succeeded in fact in getting the dam construction halted. And Premier Wen Jiabao at the time said to the planners of the dam, go back to your drawing boards, think again, and do this, replan it all in line with our new concept of scientific development, which is code really for green development in China.
Great. That sounds like pretty positive stuff. Yeah. Okay, thanks very much for coming.
Cheers to Heavy D for pulling in that interview for us, which is wicked. Right, well, this is going to be the end of this afternoon's show. It's been really nice, really exciting on camp, loads of stuff's going on. We're just beside Dispatch, we've heard loads of whoops.
Yeah.
So clearly excitement is afoot. Or vomiting. So next we're just going to roll into, and one of our final pieces, we're going to roll into Media Update.
And thanks for listening, and we'll have lots of great info for you tonight, so tune in later.
So, hi, so it's 10 to 2 and things have been slowing down a bit. The cops seem to be pulling in around the fences and having a bit of a standoff with the green group. But one group of people, looks like another person has got over the first set of fences, ran around evading the right cops a bit, but there's too many of them, came back over the fence. A load of people hung a banner west of King's North that says shut down King's North. We heard a completely unconfirmed call to look to the southwest for a flying pink pig that had CSS on it, but okay. we've yet to actually spot this flying pig. A lot of the police seem to have drawn back from the camp. Some of the gates, which have been heavily attacked all week, they're just completely abandoned now, and there's no cops up there, and they've taken down some of their infrastructure. So maybe they're all having to quickly retreat to King's North to deal with the fact that we all seem to have got there somehow. So things are still well.